to you by Tallgrass Motors, by First Baptist Church. Good morning. It is 8:34, and I get the opportunity to spend a few minutes with Clinton Hansen. And for those of you who don't know, he's president of the Play for Burke Foundation. You got an event coming up, but before we talk about that, for those that are not familiar with the foundation, it's an educational outreach, and I'll let you explain the rest of it for me.
Thanks, Charlie. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Happy
First
to have
time
you
on
here.
The radio. So
we'll try to treat you right.
I've got a face for radio for sure. So
I understand. I have the same problem or the same advantage. I'm not sure.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the foundation. It started 2 years ago. April 4th, our 13-year-old son passed away in 2015. Sorry, I get choked up a little bit.
I understand.
When I talk about that. But his name was Burke, Burke Hansen, and he was 13. He was in the 7th grade. And it was just a tragic accident. One day, he just passed away. Mm-hmm. And I had a hole there in my heart, and I needed to fill that hole. And so we wanted to build something that his classmates could also rally around. And they were using a hashtag, Play for Burke, on their social media. That's how we came up with the name of the foundation. Play is a little bit of what we do, but it's not our focus. Mm-hmm. Some people think, well, Play for Burke, you guys just go around and play all the time?
Yeah, I can see where they might draw that inference.
I do too, and I'm like, oh yeah, but we wanted something the kids could identify with, and that since they were using that hashtag, that's why we stuck with that. Mm-hmm. But our four pillars, our first, you know, we want to partner with local youth to promote service, because Burke was all about service, and then promote faith. Not any one faith or religion, but just faith in general. Mm-hmm. Burke had a strong faith, and he wanted to live his faith, and so we want his friends and classmates and those other youth in town to do that same thing. And then we wanted to promote recreational opportunities and then personal development opportunities.
And you have an event coming up next week.
We do.
That kind of meets, I'd say, all of those goals.
Right, I think so. Yeah, it's Friday, April 21st. It's a golf tournament that's going to be at Adams Golf Course. We already have 20 to 22 teams, I think, signed up for it. Mm-hmm. We have various sponsors that have been generous in their donations. And so it'll be a great tournament. If anybody has participated in any tournaments put on by Randy John, they'll know that he does a good job. There'll be fun and prizes, and this will be definitely a tournament that people will be talking about. We'll have snacks and beverages and all the things that will make a golf tournament fun.
I think the names Randy John and United Way and golf tournament all kind of run together.
Yeah? Right, they kind of do in this community for sure. So I'm glad, you know, Randy John and Tyler Backlaw are board members, and a lot of people in the community know them. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to be associated with them and all the good things that they do in the community. And so this came about, this golf tournament, one of the people on the United Way Golf Committee with Randy is named Matt Lair. Mm-hmm. And he has a son that was diagnosed with autism last year. And so he approached Randy and said, hey, want to do a golf tournament? And he didn't really have an organization to run that through. And we've wanted to sponsor a golf tournament each year, and we didn't know exactly how to get that started. And so we said, well, this is a good cause. Let's partner with Matt this year and help raise some money for the special education programs in Dewey and in Bartlesville, and give some resources to them. You know, funding cuts lately in education and things, and they just don't have the money that they need to get the things that they need for their classroom. So this will help out.
Well, and I don't know whether it's going specifically to the Pasto Independent School or not, but I know that they specialize in youngsters along the autism spectrum. As they're moving into the Will Rogers Center for next school year, I'm sure they will need some supplies.
And right.
Again, it's going to be a good partnership, it sounds like.
Yep, it's not directly with PTI. We know them. We actually helped sponsor. They had a dancing Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And Randy embarrassed himself a little bit dancing in that last year.
You're doing it for a good cause, and it's all fun.
Yeah, it was all fun. It was good. And we have some great pictures that we can use against him in the future. But we did sponsor a couple of tables there, and so we are definitely plugged in with them. So it's good to be a part of it.
Well, and I believe you're also helping out Dewey Schools as well, right?
Yep, that's where Matt, his son, goes up there. He's in the elementary school up there, so we'll look to the elementary school and buy some of the things that they need, but we also want to help out the Bartlesville public school system. And so going through the high school, hopefully we can get it to the middle schools and the high school. And I know they have some needs. We had an event on April 3rd this year where we gave the teachers some school supplies, and we actually brought in a masseuse for them. And I got to talk to the special education teachers as they came in to get their massages. They sure appreciated that, but I appreciated the opportunity to talk to them about what we had coming up and let them know that we'll be in contact with them to help help buy them some of the things that they need.
Well, many of the special ed teachers that I've had the opportunity to talk with, first of all, they went into education because they loved youngsters, but it's kind of an extra ministry for them, I think, to spend time with that particular class of youngsters.
Right. And I have a younger brother that has special needs, and so I grew up with seeing him in the special education program in the schools in Arizona where we grew up, and he's been in the Special Olympics, and he just loves it. He brings his medals home and just talks about them, and so I have experience in my own family, and so I love to support this cause as well.
Well, with the event next week, I would assume that many of the slots are already taken, but is it too late for somebody to get signed up for next week?
No, absolutely not. They can email us at our we have a Gmail account. It's play4burk@gmail.com. So that's play and then forburk at gmail.com. They can email us, and if they want to sponsor, we're going to have signage and promotional things that people will definitely know who the sponsors are. But if they want to form a team, the teams are $400, and then all of the proceeds will be divided up and go to the special education programs. But we'll have drinks and snacks, and we'll have all sorts of fun things. You know, each year at the United Way, they have different gimmicks, as you will, at the holes, and so we'll be coming up with a few fun games that people can do to make it a little more interesting.
Well, and I would say for the first year of any event, you tend to start off more modest than maybe you would in year five. Looking for, I'm sure, because Randy and friends know how to put on a golf tournament, they're going to do a great job for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And what we're going to do is each year have the golf tournament, and we'll pick a different cause to support each year. So it may not be the special education program each year, but we will find something and make it meaningful, and it'll be a chance for everybody to get together. And I mean, it's April in Oklahoma, so hopefully the weather is awesome. You never know.
No, you don't.
There may be a tornado coming through.
It may be clear skies at 10 in the morning, but something different by 2 in the afternoon.
That's exactly right. That's why we love living here. But it'll be a good time to be out on a Friday afternoon and swing the clubs and just enjoy the time together. So
it sounded like a worthwhile event, and certainly you made it affordable, I think, for a team of golfers to get out there, spend some time together, and still know that besides having some fun, they're doing something good.
That's right. And we'll put an article in the paper to let them know exactly what we do use the money for. I don't like to self-promote, but I like people to know what we're doing, the good stuff that we're giving back.
And I think that's important. And when I talk with the leader of any local nonprofit, large or small, the nonprofit world tends to take a nickel and make it look like $50, and it works just about all the time.
Yep, it does. And none of us get paid any money to work in the foundation, but we get dividends, you know, just in how it makes us feel. And being able to give back to the community, and this community is such a great, they have a great spirit of giving, and there's so many great organizations that do good things, and we're always looking to help out other organizations, and how can we help further their causes as well. But we focus on youth, because, you know, I guess this is part of me putting the energy I would have put into Burke and raising him, but putting it back into the youth of the community. And I know that Burke's friends appreciate it. They all come up and still give us hugs, and they wear their Play for Burke sweatshirts, and they love all these things that have to do with the foundation. We wanted to give them something tangible, even though the foundation itself is not tangible, but it means something to them. And they like to be involved in these activities, and they come serve with us. And so it's great to have them be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Well, I know it would not be your first choice, but it sure looks like you've got a much wider adopted family because of the events that have happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and through tragedies, you know, we can either become weaker or become stronger. And so we have our answers from God. We are religious people, and we have our answers as to how this all fits into His grand plan for our lives. It doesn't make it easier, but it helps us understand, and so then we can move forward with strength and conviction that we know that He's in charge. And so don't want to turn this into a religious spot, but
I'm happy to go there if you want to.
Just that's something that's big in our life, and obviously being Christians, we believe in the power of the, you know, of Christ and His atonement and what He did for us. And so we have that to stand with, and then we're still here on this earth, so let's make the best of it, and let's do what we can to help other people. You know, Burke's when he passed away, we started going through his stuff and his journal. He had this journal that he was keeping. Mm-hmm. It was a scripture journal, and so he would read his scriptures and write down his thoughts. And the last thing that he wrote was focus on other people, service. And so that that became the foundation for our foundation.
Yeah.
Because Burke's last words were, I want to focus on other people and do that through service. And so that's why, you know, Play for Burke is maybe not the right name for the foundation, but it's our tagline is play hard, serve harder. Because we're about play, right? They're kids.
Yeah.
They're going to play, but
exactly.
Let's teach them to serve and do something that's bigger than themselves.
Okay, so. Play for Burke. It's a golf tournament coming up next week. And again, if you'd like more information, there is an email, if I remember it correctly, playforburke@gmail.com.
That's right.
I hope you have a full house.
Thank
and
you,
a great time
it.
And sunshine and 5-mile-per-hour wind all day.
We'll cross our fingers.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Community Connection on 1400 K1. More in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
At Quick Lane at Dungeness Ford, we're ready to serve, especially when it comes to getting the right tire price. With our low-price tire guarantee, we'll meet any price on the 13 major tire brands we sell, including Michelin, BF Goodrich, Bridgestone, and Goodyear. And you can't beat our $9.95 oil change. Like all of our services, we work on all makes and all models. No appointment necessary with While You Wait service. Weekday 7 to 6 and Saturday 7 to 1. Quick Lane at Dungeness Ford, Highway 75 south of Nawata Road.
Joining us this morning on AM 1400 K1, I got the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb. And Todd, first of all, unfortunately, I'm not there for Bartlesville Day at the Capitol this year, but I know that you will be on hand along with our legislative team and others to greet Bartlesville when folks show up in Oklahoma City.
I'm looking forward to that, Charlie. I'm going to meet with the Bartlesville folks right before lunch today, but you know, anytime the voice of Bartlesville, Charlie Tarbaletti, is not in attendance, and I'm not saying that to pander or trying to be nice, I will miss seeing you. So we'll have a good day, I'm sure. It'll be a great day for those who have not been to Capitol before and those from Bartlesville that kind of come back year after year to make issues known and talk to legislators, and I'll enjoy visiting with my friend from Bartlesville, but I'll certainly miss you, Charlie.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Visits like the Bartlesville delegation, and I know that Bartlesville is far from the only community that has their day at the Capitol. For all I know, even the communities surrounding Oklahoma City, Midwest City, Del City, some of the other really close ones probably have their day with the legislature as well. They're just there to say, this is how we from, in this case, Bartlesville, see our priorities, and we'd like you to know.
And it's so important to do. And as I always tell the Bartlesville Leadership Group when they come, excuse me, or other groups that visit the Capitol, I say, well, talk to your legislators, but you see them all the time, and they see you frequently back home in the district. So that's fine. Check that box. Talk to your local legislators. But I also encourage them, talk to other legislators. Just walk into an office that you may not know, but also, for instance, if there's a road or bridge issue around the Bartlesville area or in Washington County, Nowata, et cetera, it's good to talk to the chairman of transportation, the vice chair of transportation, as you said, to make sure the issues are known. And for somebody who's not a local legislator, to meet somebody from Bartlesville, hear the concerns, and that's a little asterisk now in the mind of that legislator when those needs come up. So it's very important to do what Bartlesville is doing today and have that day at the Capitol.
Is that generally, as you remember your days as a state senator, is that generally a warm call? Do legislators, let's say from, I don't care, Enid, Lawton, places other than close to Washington County, do you see that as a warm call when people come in and want to shake your hand and get to know you and let you get to know them a little bit?
Well, I certainly always enjoyed it. You know, I like folks. I like people. So anytime somebody that was outside of my district when I was in the state senate would come in to visit about an issue or just introduce themselves, I always enjoyed that because I wanted to hear what was going on when I was, you know, just a local state senator. I wanted to know what was going on outside of my district and what the concerns were around the state, in addition to what I might hear on radio or in addition to what I might see in the paper. I wanted to talk to folks and learn from them. So I always enjoyed that and viewed that as a warm call and a warm reception.
That's part of what you do when you make your visits out into the 77 counties. You want to talk to people of issues of substance, and I say this with a smile on my face because I know that's not what you do. Drive through the local McDonald's or Taco Bell and, you know, check, say, been to Bartlesville, you know, Washington right. County off my list.
Right. No, I talk to local leaders. I talk to either city officials, county officials, school teachers, small business owners, and as you said, I've done it countless times in Bartlesville. I've had town hall meetings in Nowata. I've been to the Clearback breakfast. I mean, I've done a lot of visits in your listening area, and I continue to do that because I learn more talking to our citizens about the issues that are important to them. But again, you know, the other highlight I like to make is I just don't drive out of Bartlesville or drive out of my hometown of Enid and rearview mirror and say, okay, check a box. Went there, I talked to people. Now I can say I talked to people. We have worked on countless issues: school security, workers' comp reform, unemployment compensation, a teacher pay issue. I've advocated for a teacher pay, I think, the last 2 to 3 election cycles now over issues I've concerned and an idea and a plan that I have. So it's about working together, but you've got to listen first, and that's what I've tried to do.
Well, speaking of teacher pay, I'm sure that every county has getting conversations going on teacher pay. Locally, we have a forum with our legislative team Friday of next week to answer specifically education-related questions. That's got to be in the minds of legislators as they try to I'm sure they're all cognizant that it's been several years since the state has raised teacher pay, local districts doing what they can, but as Earl Sears would probably say, and I'm paraphrasing, if the money's not in the budget, then the state can't spend it regardless of how much they'd like to raise teacher pay or other funding issues.
Well, you're right. And speaking of Earl, I met with Earl Sears. He was in my office yesterday. We met for right at 1 hour, maybe just over an hour. Talking about just really a comprehensive chat about the budget, some of the fiscal challenges we have and that not have been kept secret but are not as publicly known or well-known as some of our other issues. And we talked about teacher pay. We talked about education and education funding specifically. You know, it's important to get that teacher pay raise addressed, as you indicated earlier. But you've also got to have the money to pay for it. You can't have a political event where, okay, let's support a teacher pay raise, but there's no fiscal backing or financial way to pay for that. You know, starting to curb some of these subsidies and tax credits, like the wind energy tax credit, zero emissions, that the legislature is starting to tackle, that's how we get there eventually. But I think it's going to be very, unfortunately, very challenging this session to find a revenue source for that issue.
You have an event coming up, I think it's Tuesday of next week, the Lieutenant Governor's Small Business Day. You have been a small business advocate as part of your responsibilities for Lieutenant Governor since you took office, and I know that there are a couple of things that you and Governor Fallon may not seem exactly eye to eye on, but in general, you talk as one administration. The state of small business, what do you expect to hear next week?
Well, you know, interesting, just quickly on that, and we've talked about this on your program, I think, but I resigned from the governor's cabinet back in February, and that's because I didn't agree with her proposal to tax 164 services that are not currently being taxed and the impact that would have on small business. So I'm no longer in her cabinet in that capacity, but it's not like there's an empty chair there looking to me and say, well, what would you do about the budget? I was never involved in the budget planning or negotiations. But I'm still hosting Small Business Day because I'm still an advocate, even though not officially in the cabinet, but an advocate for small business. And here's why. Over 97% of all the employers in Oklahoma are small business employers. That's our economic backbone in Oklahoma. So next Tuesday, as you said, Charlie, April 18th, I will host Small Business Day again. And we invite small business operators, owners, and those involved in industry to come to the state capitol. Spend about 2.5 hours together, and then we have some meetings, have some speeches, and then we disperse, kind of break the huddle, if you will, And I encourage these small business owners to go and talk to their legislators and, again, other legislators about small business issues. It's a great day. We've had it for decades now in Oklahoma, and I think it's going to be a good day next Tuesday. If anybody has any questions, they can look at our website, just Google Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamp, or call my office at 405-521-2161.
And it will be an opportunity for owners, managers, employees of small businesses to have your ear and probably more importantly the ear of people like Earl Sears or Julie Daniels or Travis Dunlap or whoever happens to represent their district, or like you said, go to, you know, talk to somebody from the other side of the state. If you're from Washington County, go find that person from Lawton or Woodward or wherever and make sure that they understand how you feel.
Charlie, why am I doing this interview? You said it much better than I did. That's exactly right.
Well, only because I get to talk to you on a monthly basis. I've learned a few things here along the way. Again, this is part of what you have, I think, personally taken interest in. Like you said, even though it's not your official duty anymore, you see the importance of small business to Oklahoma.
That's right.
And while our major employers, I'll mention a couple of names locally, ConocoPhillips or Phillips 66, do have a lot of employees in the state, percentage-wise, it's the less than 50, less than 100 employers that really employ most of the people here in the state.
Well, that's right. And also, I've also learned this, Charlie. Small business definition is really subjective. There are some businesses that started in the garage or the basement. Now they're up to 40 employees. They're not a small business in their view. They're a large business because how they've grown. There are some companies that have been around for a long time. They have 115 employees, and they say, well, you know, by definition, we're just a small business. We're still trying to make it year to year and just working really hard. So it's a little bit of a really subjectively viewed by some small business owners and operators. But regardless of what your size is, it's there are business issues that impact the economy that the legislature deals with on a regular basis. That's why it's important to have this Small Business Day next Tuesday.
Looking at other parts of the executive branch, we have a new state attorney general. Congratulations to our former attorney general moving up to the federal level. But the state business goes on, and someone has to fill those duties as being the state's top lawyer. When those offices are vacant and then filled, is it the staff, the assistants, the deputies, whatever their office title may be, that kind of keep things running for a while?
It is. And the first assistant in the Attorney General's office stepped up and really made sure that was still operating, that the office was operating smoothly. The vacancy was relatively short-lived, and Mike Hunter was appointed after Scott left and went to Washington. I think Mike will do a good job. I know he cares deeply about being Attorney General, which is a good first step. He cares deeply about the law and doing the right thing and protecting Oklahomans. And I know that because I asked Mike. I said, well, hi, Mike, why do you want to be Attorney General? Just curious. And he really laid out how passionate he was about protecting Oklahoma citizens and using that office to do that. So I think that office is really headed in a very positive direction.
Okay, well, we'll look for good things. I believe he's due in Bartlesville sometime within the next week. I believe he speaks at Rotary on Monday, so I get the opportunity to say hi then. Just again, this Bartlesville Day at the Capitol, any particular message that the folks will hear from you at about 10:30 this morning?
I'll tell them thanks for taking the time to come to the Capitol. I think that's important and very hard to do because people are making a living and working, and they're busy back in their homes. So I'll say thanks for coming, but also I'll encourage them to talk to legislators not from Bartlesville, and then I'll just ask them, what are your concerns? What do you want to share with me? And how can I help? Or how can I help get government out of your way? That'll be my message to them today.
Okay, well, in that sense, I'll let you prepare for that meeting and have a great day, and we'll talk with you again in a few weeks. Thank you very much, Todd Lamp. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, that's a Community Connection this morning on K1.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. One click.